Welcome to Live, Love, Engage, the podcast where we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. I am your host, Gloria Grace Rand, the insightful copywriter and founder of The Love Method. My mission is to help you stop doubting yourself so you can live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. Namaste and welcome to Live, Love, Engage. I am Gloria Grace Rand, and today is one of my favorite days when I do the podcast because I have a guest in the studio. I can say that, right? I can say it even though I'm broadcasting from home, but what the heck, you know? we're going to say that anyway. And I met this gentleman actually through a book writing program, but because he already has a book, which we're going to be talking about in a little bit, and I'm still working on mine. But let me get to it. His name is Tony Pollard, and he is a nationally recognized leader, speaker, and trainer. He helps businesses who want to have stronger, more committed teams through his business, Tony Pollard Speaks. And he knows how to, understands how to unlock a team's potential to achieve a more collaborative environment, often resulting in an increased bottom line. And he's got a lot of varied experience to his name. He has taught every grade from kindergarten through 12th. He's coached football, soccer, and he's also an entrepreneur as well because he started his own successful janitorial business in college. He's also has 18 years of military service with the Army and National Guard, and now he's currently working in public education and skillfully managing school transportation needs and leading a team of 350 people. And one of the things we're going to talk about is he is also the author of Driven by the Heart, A Guide to Passionate Living. And there it is. For those of you watching on YouTube, you can now see the book. So this will be
very exciting. So.
Yes, yes. I'm very, very proud to be watched your journey. So first off, just welcome Tony to Live, Love, Engage.
Thanks, Gloria. And I'm glad to be here. Thanks so much for inviting me on. I'm excited. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I know that one of the things about being an author, as we've learned, is writing a book is just the first step. It's then, you know, letting people know about it. And so I'm happy to let you share your story a little bit. So let's actually start off by right there. What actually inspired you to write a book, and this book in particular?
Well, this is actually my second book. And I have to tell you, so I'm going to hold it up again, because you get excited when you do something, especially when people tell you you could not do something. Mm. So everything I've done with this book wasn't supposed to be done at all. In high school, let me backtrack. So in elementary school, I was in special needs classes. In high school, I had a high school counselor tell me I should basically be a ditch digger. And I had a goal, and my goal was to go to college, but I didn't know how I was going to get there. I didn't have the grades for it. I didn't have the ACT for it. So I joined the military like my father did, and my uncle and my mother. We have a long line of military people. Mm. And when I went in the service and I got called to Desert Storm, things hit you. Mm. And it was at that moment I knew that I wanted to be a teacher. I knew that I had to go to college, and I just started taking a class here, a class there, and everything was one goal upon another. If I could pass this class, oh, I could take two classes. And that's what led to this basic journey. And this kind of things are in the book, these little tidbits of stories. But this book was actually driven by failure from something else. So in high school, I couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. In my current job, I had just been promoted to principal of a full-time school. I was excited. I was going to make some changes. And then I did something stupid. So you know how we get things when we fail?
Yeah.
And I failed gloriously. You know, not many people can say they were fired from a job within 3 days of receiving the job, but I could. And it was an accident, but bottom line, I had to own it. Mm. So all these things are in this book. And when you own something, and you accept it, you can move on from it. And that's what I did. And from that moment on, it's been almost 7 years ago, I just had made a choice to, from that moment on, I would be in a perpetual state of discomfort. Mm-hmm. So my first thing was getting over the fear of public speaking. Mm-hmm. I joined Toastmasters. I needed to lose some weight. So I've done those things. Mm-hmm. And then I said, well, I need to start writing. Anything that could cause me pain or discomfort is what I've done. And then, so now I've written this book, and this book is my journey, but it's also everyone else's journey. It's sort of like vignettes. When we do things from the heart, we do them fully and completely. We can change our lives completely. And I still work for the Board of Education, but I don't see that. I don't see myself as an employee. I see myself as an entrepreneur. I work for myself. Okay. And as long as you work for yourself, and you may work for a company, but if you work for yourself, you're always going to make yourself better.
Yeah, that's true. So
since that time, I've made myself better. I've had companies call me, hey, will you come out to Dallas and present some of the ideas and stuff you brought to transportation? Will you do this for us? And that was not my plan at all. My plan was to make me better. And I love how you open it up, namaste. And my wife teaches yoga as well. And I always have fun with that. But that whole thing is my life now. I live it in a way that's peaceful and purposeful. And I wasn't doing that before. And I didn't realize that. It took failure for me to realize that. So, and I'm sorry, that's a longer problem than you want.
No, that's
excited about talking about my journey, because I live in a different way now. I don't live for somebody. I live for myself.
Mm, absolutely. Well, how did you come up with the title? So what does that, you know, you kind of alluded to it a little bit, but maybe you can expand on where that came from and what it really means.
Our writers group really helped me with this. I knew I wanted, so when I speak, I give everybody these little Build-A-Bear hearts, because I want them to take what I shared with them, and I want it to be memorable. And I just had this guy reach out to me this morning, and before we met, he said, you know, I still had that heart you gave me 5 years ago.
Aww.
And so he remembers the speech I gave 5 years ago, and it was a short speech, but he remembers it, and he remembers from the heart. So everything we do, we should be driven from the heart. We should not think about it. And I look at this when I don't think about it with your mind.
Right.
Push out the outside forces and just go with it full bore. And this is my military coming out. I mean, you got to charge after it. And sometimes you're going to fall down. But if you get back up, and that's what happened to me, I had to get back up. And when I chose to get back up, everything changed. I could have accepted my demotion. I wasn't fired completely from the job. I was demoted. I could have accepted my demotion, worked in my public education job, and just been miserable. But so when I got demoted, I was crying with these people, and I love sharing the story now, but I hated it at the moment. The superintendent said, I can't have someone like you doing this. I'm not thinking. And I said, you're right. I did that. It was an accident, but I own it. It was inadvertent. And I'll tell you what I did. So I got the new job and my old faculty. I said, let me send them a goodbye email. I went to YouTube. I downloaded funny goodbye emails. Mm-hmm. One of them was inappropriate. No, it wasn't cussing. And it was a foreign European commercial.
Oh.
But it came across the wrong way. And I was tired. I didn't send the one I should have sent. I sent the one I should not have sent. And I lost the job. It's as simple as that. But he pulls me in. I'm looking around this room. I have this team of people around me that just hired me, saying, we can't have you doing this. And I drove to Sam's Club in Malvis, Alabama, pulled over and started crying. And it was at that moment I said, I've got to change. What did I do wrong? Your ego gets the best of you.
Yeah.
You become cocky. And I had done all those things. Mm. And so 2 hours after that, I Googled how to repair your image on the job. It was write down your goals. So I'm 45 years, I think I was 43. Well, I haven't done that ever. Why not?
Yeah.
So I started writing my goals down, 5 goals a day. And then it said, read books, do what CEOs do. So I started reading books. Because I just wanted to get through class. So I would do the study and get through class.
Right.
And started reading books. In that first year, I read 52 books.
Mm-hmm.
Since that time, I probably read over 400 books.
Wow.
And And it's all about leadership, teamwork, personal development, anything that's going to help me grow. Mm-hmm. Listen to motivational videos or inspirational stories. I started doing that. It was an everyday basis. Mm-hmm. So instead of waking up at 5, I started waking up at 4. Now I wake up at 3:30. And I start the day normally at 3:30. And I go to the gym. While I'm at the gym, I'm listening to motivational stories and inspirational stories. Mm-hmm. That gets me going. Mm-hmm. Then when I get home, I take my shower. I will listen to a book on the way to work. And and I constantly say, how can I improve myself constantly? And that's what I say, put yourself in a perpetual state of discomfort and do everything from the heart and you will live fully. And there's stories in this book, A Guide to Passionate Living. Everyone's done that. They've decided, hey, I've experienced failure or this has happened to me. Let me live in a different way. And when they've done that, they've not only changed their lives, but they changed the world in some of the stories. So it's really interesting.
Yeah, that's awesome. So tell me a little bit more about that. So you've got other stories in there from other people then and sharing their examples.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Okay.
So what I wanted
to do. What's one of your favorites?
Is a heart of comfort. Everything's about a heart of something. If you do it from heart, it'll change your life. And Janusz Korczak was a teacher in Warsaw, Poland. He started orphanages. He was a doctor, a pediatrician. Mm. And when the Nazis attacked Poland, he had ran a Catholic orphanage and a Jewish orphanage. Mm. And he was a very famous children's author. So the Germans would come in and they say, hey, we're going to close this orphanage down, the Jewish orphanage, and they're going to have to be moved into Warsaw. Mm. And this was, if you've read anything about this, it was the Warsaw Ghetto.
Right.
And basically the Nazis were trying to starve out and these 500,000 plus people in a small area.
Right.
It would make me emotional because I'm thinking about this story. Mm-hmm. And he said, and they offered him, said, you can go stay with your Catholic orphanage, or you can stay with your Jewish orphanage. And Janusz said, hey, I'm going to stay with these kids, and I'm going to go into Warsaw Ghetto with them. Mm-hmm. So he and 190 children and his 15 or so people that worked in the orphanage went to the Warsaw Ghetto, even though he was offered freedom to stay with the Catholics. And he goes in this ghetto. And he tries to teach the kids. He's still trying to give them peace. Everything he does is about peace. Mm. And 2 years later or a year and a half later, the Nazis come to him and say, it's time. You know, they wanted things to be peaceful. They didn't want people, even though they knew they were sending them to death camps, Treblinka, Warsaw, they didn't want an uprising. So they went to Janusz and said, hey, we're getting ready to send these people to the death camps. The story goes, he prepares the children. He says, I need you to put on your best clothes. He dresses them. He gives them all backpacks and says, take your favorite toy, your thing that brings you comfort, and put in your backpack.
Mm-hmm.
They leave the building wherever they're in, and they're marching through the Warsaw Ghetto, singing songs, praising the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's just so emotional. Mm-hmm. And 190 children and his 12 or 15 people that are with him go with him. And as he gets to the train station, he tells the kids, we're going to go to, we're getting out of here. We're going to a place of peace. And the story, there's rumors, and I don't know if this is true or not, but it's so neat that a Nazi soldier pulls him off the side and says, hey, my children love your books. Let me get you out of here. Mm-hmm. And he says, no, I have to go with the kids. Mm-hmm. They load the kids on the train. They load his 15 or so helpers and himself. And the train rides off, never to be seen again. And so all these kids were put to death there. And he knew that to the very last, he had to provide these children in this orphanage a heart of comfort.
Mm.
So as an educator, that touches me because especially now these schools are starting back. As an educator, that's what every teacher, every bus driver, every superintendent, we should try to provide a heart of comfort. So for me, what can I do to provide a heart of comfort for my employees? For that driver, what can they do to provide a heart of comfort for the kids that get on their bus? And for the teacher, what can we do to provide a heart of comfort for the kids we serve on a daily basis? And if we go about our life that way, we can change everything. And he is worshipped, and there's statues to him in Israel. It's mm-hmm. the neatest little story, and it's all because he decided to provide a heart of comfort. Mm-hmm. So that story is, everything's a vignette, and it's not mm-hmm. just his story. What I do is try to tie it into myself. Mm-hmm. I was a single father, and I had to give my daughter comfort, and I raised my daughter as a single father from age 3 until now. We're best friends. She's mm-hmm. 23 now. And how could I provide her comfort, right. take care of her, be a father that was not an absentee parent?
Yeah.
Attend all her games, support her. Someone gave me some pictures that they had when she was a kid, and I used to do her hair. I had to go when her mother and I divorced. I went to the hair salon and said, I need to know how to braid hair. They taught me how to do the French braid.
Taught me
how to do the fishbone.
Yeah.
So my daughter, when she was 10, stop doing my hair. It's too tight. It broke my heart. I don't have hair. But from the time she was little, she had iron clothes. They were clean. I did everything mm-hmm. I could to provide her comfort and love and care. So I tell that story. And then I tell Janusa's story because mm-hmm. not everybody's famous.
Right.
And so, but we all have a story that we can share. And so that's how the stories are broken down. There's a heart, there's like 39, a heart of comfort, a heart of determination, a mm-hmm. heart of happiness. So one of them, and I got to pull this up, and you know how you forget stuff in your own book, but you don't forget the stories.
Right.
The other one is a heart of persistence. Mm-hmm. So do you mind if I share this story?
Oh, no, go ahead.
I love this story. Dashrath Mandra was this guy in India. And him and his wife lived in this rural area where you had to walk everywhere. Mm-hmm. And to get to education and centers or shopping, they had to go over this almost like a hill that would take 3 days. And it was mm-hmm. full of these sharp rocks that you could slip and fall and kill yourself. Mm-hmm. He was working in the fields, and his young wife, they were just newly married, was bringing him some food. And fell and slipped, and once he found out, he tried to carry her to healthcare, but she died on the way there.
Aww.
This man, his heart of persistence, he spent the next 30 or so years literally with a hammer and chisel creating a path for his village.
Oh, wow.
And I wish I could show you the picture.
Yeah.
Because it was like 360 foot deep. 120 foot long, and he did it on his own. People thought he was crazy.
Wow.
But you do things from the heart, you ignore the outside noises,
mm-hmm.
and slowly but surely he would chisel away. Mm-hmm. After years, the townspeople would, I don't know if they started helping him, I can't really find that in the story, but they admired him.
Yeah.
And when it was all done, what would take days now only took hours. Mm-hmm. And they could walk smoothly around out through this path out of the mountain, became a national hero. Mm-hmm. And it's all because he was very persistent in his pursuit of helping his village, because he didn't want to see anyone else die, children mm-hmm. or any more young wives die. So it's really an interesting story. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I definitely want to be able to read this book, but and we're going to get to that in a minute. But first I want to ask you to maybe share, because I know you've already, I think, given some tremendous advice for people, but maybe what is one change that you can recommend that people could do right now that could help them to either achieve their goals or just to even just to live a fuller life? Especially, we've been dealing with, we're recording this at the end of July, and we've had all these months of the pandemic, and it's been a little... a lot of stuff has been going on. And so I know there a lot of people are under stress and fatigue. But at the same time, we still have to go on. We still have to find ways to go on. So what would you recommend to someone?
So right now I'm embroiled in work, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And the mind is serving others. And it can be so small. And it's very selfish what I'm about to say. So if I'm at a fast food and I'm in the drive-through, I'm thinking, oh, I need a pick-me-up. Let me buy the guy behind me his meal or their meal. And I'll do that. And I hate for it to be selfish, but just serve in some capacity, give back. And if you do that, your life will slowly but surely change. I had no plans of becoming a writer. I had no plans of speaking. I was asked to do a Veterans Day program, and I spoke for 15 minutes and I had given these hearts. These were like the first time I gave them out. And the veterans came to me and said, "That was really great. I'm going to remember that. It really helped me." Especially because a lot of them were just coming back from the war and a lot of them were experiencing PTSD. But I just talked about service. But from that moment on, I said, I can give in a different way. And I've just got to be willing. So there's two things: serve others and put yourself in discomfort. I was very uncomfortable speaking and I chose to do so. And when I did that, things have started to change for me. If you just do those two things, serve and be in perpetual state of discomfort, it doesn't mean you have to be miserable.
Right.
Find the discomfort that helps and it's going to give you growth. And yes, when I've done that, I've been so much better. The life has changed for me tremendously. I had no idea it was going to change for me, and it has. And I know my Southern voice is probably dragging, but when you do that, life cannot help but open up for you.
Yeah,
it absolutely just happened. So
yeah, absolutely. I definitely agree with it, that stepping out of your comfort zone and being willing to be uncomfortable, that's where growth happens. You have to. I mean, it's otherwise you're just staying the same and you're just going to, if you're not growing, you're dying. So you've got to be able to do that. So I love how
I love
the service part of that too.
Yes, ma'am. I don't mean to interrupt you. Can I share a little story? So my wife, and she'll hate that I'm telling the story, but she went through a struggle for a couple of years where she could not find her way. She had been an accountant for years. She had served in all these neat public service areas. And all of a sudden that stuff came to an end. Mm-hmm. And she didn't know how to fix it. And I just told her, I said, you've got to be willing to step out. And when she did that, she became a personal trainer. And I could see the smile on her face when she would study for this course. Mm-hmm. And I was teaching classes. And it's the funniest thing, because that's not my wife. She is the biggest introvert I know. And now she's teaching classes. And she may have her days where she's a little frustrated, a little nervous. Mm-hmm. But see the joy in her heart. And it's all because she stepped out. Mm-hmm. Her comfort zone and did it, and it's the neatest thing. So
I've definitely experienced that myself. I mean, that's part of what led to me doing this podcast itself, is because of stepping out of my comfort zone, talking more about God and things like that. And so it feels so much better, and being able to serve people, it really does. And I love like having people like you on so that I can bring your story out to people who may or may not have been able to hear you otherwise. Which brings me to one last thing I wanted to ask you about, is how can people get your book?
So right now it'll launch August 15th.
Okay.
It's on Amazon.com. Yeah. It'll be on Kindle as well. But it launches August 15th. And if you just type in Tony Pollard, I've got two books actually. So if you type in my name, Tony Pollard, you'll see those two books pop up. One is you know how you just kind of do something. Mm-hmm. So I wrote a chapter book and I self-published that myself. And now I'm working through Michael Butler Publishing, as you know, mm-hmm. and Driven by the Heart, A Guide to Passionate Living. So, and you, like you said, you're still writing your book. Mm-hmm. So it's so hard. You feel uncomfortable, but when you're in those little groups, find you an accountability partner. Yeah. And two of us in that group or three of us in that group are accountability partners. Hey, did you write this morning?
Yeah.
And it's different. They're from different parts of the country. Mm-hmm. And that's how you find the book on Amazon. And if you're wanting to write, whatever you want to do, find you somebody to keep you accountable, and it'll help you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That is for sure. I always talk to my clients about that and the importance of being in a group or even just having one buddy, just somebody that can keep you on your toes and keep you motivated. So it helps a great deal. So
yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you sharing some awesome stories, not only your own, but some others as well. So really whetting our appetite for the book. And so I wish you all the luck and success with it, and hope it leads to even bigger and better things. And also wish you good luck as we were talking before we started the recording, that you're getting ready for school is opening up soon. And so you're managing all of that fun. Even in a normal year, I'm sure it's, you know, it's fine, but this is not a normal year and dealing with all of that. So, you know what, maybe one last thing is, how are you, what are you doing to keep yourself going, you know, especially, you know, in dealing with now this stress of starting school?
Yes, ma'am. And I know you told me not to call you ma'am, but it was, for me personally, And like I said, I'm always in, how can I be in a perpetual state of discomfort? Mm-hmm. So right now I'm in a perpetual state of discomfort. But at the same time, it brings me joy, because when you're so busy, I love the logistics of transportation. We did all these videos this week. They're not the greatest little videos, but these drivers that I can't meet face to face, they're going to be able to see these videos. Hopefully it'll help them and prepare for the year, because they're nervous. They're scared. They're worried about themselves. They're worried about the health of their children. Yeah. And that kind of hurts my heart as well, because I can't do anything for them. Mm-hmm. And other than try to give them as much as I can. So when they start off the year, and so the Army, you practice. So if you go into war or you go into action, you're ready. You can go out there and be all in. You don't think about it. It becomes second nature. And that's what I hope I can convey to the drivers and anybody else I may work with. I want them to know, hey, got to have a positive attitude. Yeah. And I met with my group of employees and I said, let's have a positive attitude. If you need to fuss, do it to me behind closed doors. But we're in a large group. Keep it positive. And that's our goal. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to fuss to myself. I need to keep it to myself. I don't need to bring anybody else down. So that's my goal. Do everything from the heart and keep it as positive as possible.
All right. Awesome. Well, I think that is the perfect place to end it. So keep that in mind, all of you listening and watching out there. Great advice that is driven from the heart. So I appreciate that. And as always, I appreciate you out there who are listening and watching. I'm just very, very grateful for you. And until next time, as always, I encourage you to go out and live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. One more thing before you go. As a valued listener of the Live, Love, Engage podcast, I want to help you shine your light in the world, not only while you're listening to the show, but all day, every day of the week. That's why I created the Live, Love, Engage Spiritual Awakening Community on Facebook. It's a place for you to gather with other business professionals and entrepreneurs who are committed to living the life of their dreams. If you want to be a part of this community and receive free trainings from me, go to liveloveengage.com and request to join. That's liveloveengage.com.